It's time for Breaking Chains with the P31 Ladies Night, where we will have open dialogue with our women on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I tell you, I'm so excited for you all to have tuned in to Breaking Chains Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. I am Dr. Latarsha Holden. I'm your host, and thank you for tuning in once again on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have an awesome show tonight. We're dealing with a heavy topic. I just don't think it's, you know, relative, just pointed just towards May. I know May is Mental Health Awareness Month, but I think this topic here dealing with emotional stress and just anxiety and depression, I think we need to probably have more topics and more time set aside to discuss this very important issue. Life has a way of taking us down a road that we never could have dreamed of, and just having us go through so many challenges that can actually be just taxing on our mind, our mental health, our emotional health. And so joining me on tonight's show to help bring clarity about dealing with emotional stress and anxiety and depression is Dr. Michelle Stanford. And let me just go over right quick, just a little house rules. If you have a question, the producer will put you on. They'll let me know, and I might come on and say, hey, if we have any guests that want to make a comment or ask a question, that's your time to speak up then. During the broadcast, while we're this is a live broadcast, while we're talking, please mute your phone so we can be respectable of each other's time, and we can hear the conversation, because I definitely believe this conversation is needed now more than ever. So again, let me welcome my guest, Dr. Michelle Stanford. Let me go over just some things so you can know who I have here on the show. I try to bring people who I feel will bring value to the conversations, and that actually has not just education, but that personal experience, live life experience, that they can actually maybe say something that will change somebody's life on these calls, on this broadcast. So Dr. Michelle is the CEO and founder of I Am Somebody Counseling Center, Inc., which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Dr. Michelle is a certified Paracletos Counseling Specialist. Her specialty is abuse. I'm sorry, my computer just blinked out. But her specialty is abuse. She also specializes in emotional stress, depression, anger, and fear. However, Dr. Michelle is certified for marriage, individual, children, grief, and pastoral counseling. Paracletos Counseling is a five-branch methodology that combines faith-based principles with evidence-based therapeutic interventions for a whole person recovery, mind, body, and spirit. Dr. Michelle is also an associate minister at the Valley Grove Baptist Church, where she teaches a girls' youth dance ministry and a youth advisor. Awesome, I tell you. I mean, so you already know just from that short snippet, she's a wealth of knowledge. Dr. Michelle has a PhD of biblical studies, master's of religious counseling education, a double bachelor of theology and religious education, certificate of Christian training, certificate of a licensed minister, and she's ordained. So everybody, please welcome Dr. Michelle Stanford. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. Thank you so much.
I tell you, I'm so glad that you took the time to be my guest out of your busy schedule to be on Breaking Chains Proverbs 31 Ladies Night radio broadcast. But this topic, I mean, dealing with emotional stress and depression and anxiety. Tell us, what made you go into this part of counseling, you know, and specialize? Was it a personal, or, you know, does it come from a personal experience, or just something you just feel God has called you in this area of expertise?
Well, being a survivor of domestic abuse, I know that God has anointed me for this particular, I say, specialty of domestic violence, of domestic abuse. Not something that I learned in a book, but lived the everyday life of it. And so knowing the ins, the outs, the up and downs, and all of the different feelings, and God just ordained me as this person to be the vessel that he's called me to be, not for me, but for his hurting people.
Mm. So from your experience, let's dive in first with, because I like to get the meat and potatoes. You know, I like
yes,
to get
ma'am.
People right what we came to. I've been an ordained minister myself. I'm one of those preachers. I like to give them what God told me and get out the way. I don't, you know, just like,
right.
you know. So, Doc, talk to us about this emotional stress and how probably maybe people kind of skim over it, or they've got so used to it, they no longer, you know, see the warning signals that, hey, you kind of going, you probably need to talk to somebody. So just from your professional experience and your personal, tell us a little bit more about emotional stress.
Well, first of all, let me say this. As being in our culture, and being of our race, Black people have a hard time accepting counseling because something that was embedded in us as growing up, as children, as grandma's house, big mom's house, mama's house, what happens in the house stays in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, as we grow from children to teenagers to young adults to adults, we're dealing with things that's going on that has been going on in the past, but we have no name for it. We don't know what it is.
Okay.
And because we are not so much to say, well, okay, well, you need some type of help, but what type of help do I need? Because we're not accustomed, first of all, to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So with the emotional stress, we go through all of these years with these feelings in the inside of us that we don't even know what they're called. All we know is that we're hurting, we're going through, we having these emotional breakdowns, physical breakdowns, but the cause, as you could say, the root cause, maybe you've been abused physically, mentally, sexually, but these things that's in the inside of us, we don't know what to call them because we've never had the opportunity to even have a counseling session.
Oh, wow. Oh, my. So now, how do you get your, you know, when your clients come in, they want to talk, and how do you get them, you know, what would you to bring someone in? You know, if you know, like you said, we raised in a culture where nobody really do counseling. So what usually happens that someone actually comes in for counseling?
Well, as the profession that I am, the PCS, which is the Paracletos Counseling Specialist, the five branch methodology we use, which number one is the helper.
Okay.
The number two would be the comforter. Number three would actually be the counseling. Four is the advocacy, and five is the walk alongside coach, which is based on when Jesus left his disciples and he said that I shall not leave you comfortless, that I will send you a helper back, and which was the Paracletos. And in your Bible, if you know that the Paracletos is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk each one of our clients through the five branches, which is the help. We have to help them in any way that they need. Then we have to comfort them, which is the most important, because if I cannot comfort you from the problems that you need, I cannot help you.
Mm.
Once I comfort you, to let you know, well, hey, I am so glad that you're here today. You made it. Out of all that you've gone through, you made it here today, and I am so glad to see you. Once I break that boundary with that person, then the trust level can start.
Okay.
Then all of the other things that needs to be talked about would be a little easier for me to get into whatever the root cause is.
Okay. But since it's a, like you said, a stigma in the Black community, you know, counseling for crazy people, what usually drives somebody? I mean, you know, so because we've grown up with that mentality, you know, man, you don't go talk to nobody. That's crazy. You ain't no crazy person. Mm-hmm. So what usually
– Hello? I lost you, Dr. Holden. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry, honey. I lost you. I couldn't hear you.
Okay, do you want me to repeat what I just asked?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Because that is a stigma within the Black community. You know, we don't go to counseling. You're not crazy. That's for crazy people. What, from your professional experience, drives people to that point? You know, when they come in, is it they've had enough? Is it mandated by the course? Or, you know, to go to counseling, like you said, it's kind of like the last thing we'll do. But do you feel that more people are getting help now? Is it people getting away from it's a stigma that, you know, within the Black community?
I think now that as one grows into their own selves and they see that they need help, and now you see more Black professional counselors than you've ever seen.
Mm.
And I think even more Black women. And I think the contact, or I'll say the emotional stage from woman to woman.
Okay.
That trust could be a little more there, because if you've been abused by a man, you're not going to go and sit in front of a man and spill your guts out about him or whatever is going on with you because you've been abused by that man. But I think now in our culture that one's growing into their own selves, and they're seeing more and more of Black professional counselors on site. Even with my counseling, which is a faith-based counseling.
Okay.
And if you are a Christian, God has equipped us for his people, which are the Christian person, which to say that, okay, I am a Christian, but I'm hurting. Maybe I backslid. Maybe I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. But you have someone there that's a Christian counseling that can understand and can speak your language.
Okay. Now, I would say in maybe the last 3 to 5 years, probably even I'll go back maybe, well, no, I'm not going to say probably the last 5 years, we've seen a rise in suicide amongst pastoral leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that even as leaders and ministers that we hold on more because people hold us to higher standard? Or I remember back in the day when I was going through, the church will always make you're not praying enough, you're not fasting enough. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And you shy away from help. So do you feel that that's a part where the church, even as it has abandoned its leaders to the point where they're, you know, they don't want to go and be, or do you see that the leaders are coming more for help?
Well, I think within the last 5 years of my age of coming up, and you had a pastor, who would they go to talk to? Because they are held as the highest, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was really not too many people that they could go and talk to. So now as we are growing and you have more people that's teaching than preaching now.
Yes.
So therefore the word goes forth. And if I am, as I am a minister, I know that there is someone that's true in the word of God. Even I was sexually assaulted by a pastor. It took me so long for me to even trust a pastor or a preacher, or a man in that position.
Wow.
But now I know that with the true teaching and the doctrine of the pastors that see, you do have real ones. Yes, you do have those that's in sheep clothing. But once you gain that trust, and I think now that the pastors as leaders, that they have other pastors that they can go to talk to, or even having counselor sessions. As you say that a preacher needs a preacher, a counselor needs a counselor. I have a counselor.
Go ahead. No, I was just thinking, you know, like you said, somebody they can trust, because you don't want to go to someone that's itching ears and waiting to hear, oh, Bishop so-and-so, apostle, so, you know, they're going through this. And it's funny because we hurt the same, just like the people in, you know, in the, we, I mean, divorce hurts, losing a child hurts,
yes,
losing a family member hurts. So for them to think any, you know, our faith wavers sometime when life can throw us. And, you know, I just feel it's ridiculous to put such, you know, unrealistic expectation on leaders where, I don't, you know, who do I go to when I'm hurting? Because I don't want someone to look at me.
Right.
And so that emotional stress, is there any warning signs that you can give the listeners, let them know, hey, it might be time that you reach out for help?
Yes, signs of stress, of symptoms, emotional stress and depression really are cousins. They're first cousins.
Yes.
And with the emotional stress, some symptoms you might have is depression, general unhappiness, anxiety, moodiness, anger, feeling overwhelmed, loneliness, isolation, aggravation. And these are the type of feelings that you have in the inside, but what do you call these feelings? Because we've never had a place or someone to even tell us what these feelings are. The only thing we know is that we're angry.
Yes.
But anger, it goes so much farther than just being angry. And with depression... And like I said, depression and emotional stress are cousins, but there's a parallel between depression and emotional stress. Is depression is a persistent feeling.
Okay.
A feeling that doesn't ever go away. A feeling, a persistent feeling of sadness or a loss of interest. But whatever your feeling is, it's persistent. It continues. It never lets us off of you. That's the deepest sign of depression that you can parallel from the emotional stress. Because your emotions change every day.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And depression is something that's going to be there with you for a long period of time. It affects how you think. How you feel, your behavior, it can lead to a variety of emotional and even physical problems.
Right. Look, well, two questions here. You said something about general unhappiness. And I think a lot of people, talk a little bit about that, because I think even with relationships, I think people get in relationships and they feel this person is not making me happy. Talk about that. Where does that happiness come from? And that for people who are listening, they might be in relationships and they thinking that even in marriages, I'm just being led by the Lord. Somebody might, man, I'm not feeling happy. But can someone let the listener know, is that happiness, that joy that someone is looking for, it does not come from another person. But can you speak on a little bit more on that general unhappiness? I just felt led to go back to that one.
I think that's more like a void in that individual's life. There is something that they're missing or something more that they're expecting from that other person, but it's a void in their own life. And that's why I am 100% with premarital counseling, even before you set the date. Because once that you're engaged, if you're engaged with premarital counseling and all of this stuff come up that you've never seen before, you can be engaged and still fix the problem.
Okay.
But once you set that date, it's a little harder to go up to 2 weeks until it's time for you to get married and all of this unexpected stuff come up. And then, hey, what do? Do you call the wedding off? So I think it's more of a void for that individual person, something that they're missing within themselves.
And I'm just going to go, I just feel led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know why we're going in this direction, but what are some signs? I don't know if somebody on this phone, so I'm just going to be let, keep continuing to be led. What are some signs when someone can feel, that this person is expecting something from them, and no matter how hard they try, what are some signs of that somebody who might be in that situation, like, you know what? Maybe this person has an unresolved issue because no matter what I do, is there any signs to even warn somebody that they're with somebody that's putting unrealistic expectations on them and they just thinking, maybe they're blowing it off because they haven't either been with someone like that or they don't really, they in love and they're overlooking. But what are some, maybe two or three, when you're in a relationship and that unrealistic, and like you said, because people don't address it about time 2 weeks before marriage. Okay, we'll just, brush up on the rug. But are there signs in the beginning that you can kind of pick up something is not right about this? For, is it something somebody might continue to say that someone can look out for, that they could tell potentially they're heading down a road they probably don't want to go on?
I think that number one symptom would probably be anger. Because no matter what you do to please them or how you try to please them, it's always going to be a little anger issue because it's not, I guess you could say, 100% pleasable to that person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not the person that's trying to please them, but it's the person that they're pleasing that has the problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that number one thing would probably be that anger issue because they're always going to get irritated about something because it's always not going to be enough or good enough.
Okay. That's oh my God. I don't know. I just see someone crying, but they're heading down this road. So that's why I'm just being led. See someone crying. Because they're going off that this person, this emotional stress, and so but they're going off that, well, this person is good, well, they don't do this, but I see someone crying a lot in a way. So that's why I would just like to be led on that part. And
yes, ma'am.
Today it's just so much going on, and I'm going to be honest, I'm just going to be, usually coming up, if you saw someone on TV that had killed someone or murdered or they always had that was a certain look they had back in the day. It was almost like the boogeyman look. And at the time I was talking to a friend because I've been single for 5 years. I said, the people that you've seen, I said, they don't have, as they say, quote unquote, the crazy look. These are some very nice looking, educated people that are committing some of these heinous crimes out here. And so if you want to advise someone on dating, that's out there what are some signs up front? Because we need to start noticing these red signs, these warning signs in the beginning. Before I just saw a lady, I think she met some dude, I think it was on one of the social media, but they had a newspaper, I guess, or somebody had wrote an article or interviewed her. She met some dude on the online dating site, and she said he was nice, he was nice looking, and I guess she said all the right things, she did all the right things, and she said, but when we met up, I think the dude tried to kill her, so what are some, not just dating site, but what are some warning signs? Even in the beginning stages when people are meeting people, if we can stop some of this stuff before we get in, because once the sex, let's just be real, once the sex enter in, the blinders come on, but if we can just say, hold on, let me just look and observe, so what else? Because I want to help some people tonight. We can't peddle around this issue, you know, this emotional
Absolutely.
Stress coming from all resolved issues, you know, and I know Lord has, that's why I have personally been single for 5 years, so God can get out whatever junk I had in me that was attracting guys, that was mental abusive back in the day. You know, I'm trying to, I'm doing some cleaning, allowing God to clean. So now when I talk with somebody, if I meet someone, I'm listening, I'm hearing, I'm catching words that I probably would have never caught 20 years ago. So, professionally, what are some signs or some words or something that people can start, you know, catching on, you know what, that don't sound like, or he's acting weird, or she's acting weird. So can you give us some things in the beginning that tell us run the opposite way?
The first thing would be controlling. If someone has to control you and whatever it is that you're doing, that you're saying, that you're wearing, that you're speaking, that you're looking at, go the opposite direction. Having power and control over someone is abuse. And that's the first sign. I don't care how cute he is. I don't care how fine she is. The first thing that you're going to notice is that control. They want to control you in everything that you do. And that's the number one sign, is control and someone having power over you.
Wow.
Because eventually, as Maya Angelou say, when someone show you their real self, believe it.
Okay. So those little side put downs and little, you know, things that people put off. And I'm just keeping it real, Doc. I'm just hearing. And because I remember I was trapped. I was just telling my kids, if the Lord's will, I'll be 47 next month. I said, but you know, I said, Lord, I wish I would have, you know, just taken the time to get to know me. Back then, get to know. So now when I meet people, and I might hear God, you know, it's funny. Well, you know, when you walk with the Lord for a minute, you start to, and you've been crushed, and you've been through the purging process, you look at things differently. You hear, you move differently. And so I'm just like, wow, man, I'm catching stuff. I would have never, you know, just the conversation when somebody might say, oh, you get another award. How many that makes? And I'm like,
right.
And I already know it's going to be some competition. It's going to be some dead downs in the future. You're going to put, it's, you know, things I probably would have been like, what? Either I thought was, true. No, brother, you ain't the one. Already that comment lets me know.
Yes.
I'm just want this conversation to be real, because I want people, look, we don't have the time to enter in anything that's going to cause emotional stress.
Yes,
no
right.
depression, and we just don't. I know I don't have the time, so I'm very.
Yes, ma'am.
So people, like you said, you know, I'm like, Lord, I don't know if it's close because I'm getting close to 50. You know, you wise up, but if we can tell some whoever's on the line, some younger people, hey, listen to, don't, like you said, who cares how fine they are or how good they look. Listen to what they're saying. Stop all being, you know. This world now is so materialistic about the cars and the bling and the money.
Yes.
Because 9 times out of 10, if you listen long enough, they'll tell you what they're about.
That's right. And eventually, the truth is going to come forth. And us as being women, God had created us for that intimacy. And that's what we want. That's what we need. And when we have that man that holds us like we've never been held before, that feels so good. But when he holds us like we've never been held before, but it's a little bit too tight.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Because, see, that controlling thing, and like I say, you're going to see it when it first happens if you pay enough attention. Just because he's holding you in a way that you've never been held before, but it's going to be a little bit too tight and a little bit too rough.
I'm just a firm believer now. We can, and if you give yourself enough time between dating,
yes, ma'am.
I'm just being real. This is the longest I
yes,
have been
ma'am.
Single on purpose, you know, 5 years, and I'm enjoying myself. I'm getting my strength to say no, to say I don't
yes.
like it. I'm not afraid to be rejected
yes.
anymore. I don't have to prove myself to get you to like me, you know. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, God, this feels pretty good. I mean, but we
right.
have to take time to you know, we just not. It's okay if I'm still single. Okay, I'm not in no rush. You don't know who you're going to. And because once you, if you hook up with the wrong person, that emotional stress
mm-hmm.
is going to come from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to deter
mm-hmm.
anything that God has for in this day and time. Because relationship, Dr. Michelle, like I said, I'd be 47, the Lord's willingness, Mom. 25 years ago, it was so much different when you met somebody than now.
Yes, ma'am.
It was like,
yes, ma'am.
It was about love then. It was about really being with someone. Now it's about what can you do for me? And sex, everybody wants sex, everybody. So it's the motive, the intentions behind now is so different. So
because of us as being women, we give these men too much. We give these men the husband's
yes.
gift. We give them too much off top. And until we realize that God created us for them, that we are the gift to man,
mm-hmm.
we're going to continue to fall into these relationships back to back, back to back, back to back, because we're looking for someone to love us in the way that we want, instead of letting someone find us to love us in the way that we was created to be loved.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
We're giving these men too much. So if you do get married, what is it left for you to give him or for him? Because 9 times out of 10, we're giving him more than he's giving us.
Yes.
Because we feel that we have to prove ourselves to them. No, we have it wrong. We have it backwards. God created woman for man.
Mm-hmm.
We are the gift.
My goodness. I
and they need to come up to our standards, and we need to stop lowering ourselves to their standards. Because you know what? It's a difference from... And you said keep it real, and
yeah,
we're all grown
yeah.
here on this radio station. It's a difference between having sex
mm-hmm.
when a man, you know, is depositing into a woman.
Yes.
He's depositing into us. So,
mm-hmm.
see, that's why it's so easy for him to get up. He has to wipe himself off.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping it moving. But us, we have to clean ourselves out because he has deposited into us.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where the emotions that comes from a woman and a man is totally different.
Watch it.
Because God created us that way. But we're not living in the order that God created for us to live, man and woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just take a caller just right. Is there a caller on the line that wants to make a comment, add something to the conversation, or even ask Dr. Michelle a question? So call if you're there, the line is clear for you to go ahead. Caller, are you there? Okay, you're probably shy. We'll just continue on. They'll probably call back in. Look, Dr. Michelle, is there such thing as functional depression? You know, you see a lot of people that smile and grin and when they go
yes,
to work,
ma'am.
They go to school, they go to church.
Yes, ma'am.
And they go home.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit how can we help recognize maybe our friends or family members that are functional depression? depressed, you know, functioning in depression, but we probably, I'm like, oh, they seem happy. That's why a lot of people, I think, be shocked when they hear so-and-so mm-hmm. committed suicide. I'm like, was she just mm-hmm. at work? So talk to us about how can someone, you know, live a life functional in depression, but, and what signs maybe that we can see to as clues that we might need to reach out.
Have you ever come in contact with a functional drug addict or a
yes.
functional alcoholic?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the way that they function with you is on a normal day-to-day routine.
Okay.
They do everything that they're supposed to do. But if you watch them closely, there's always a nervous tick about them
mm-hmm.
in some way
mm-hmm.
or another.
That's right.
Even though they're functioning in the way that they are to be functioning, there's always a nervous tick, and that nervous tick is to get to their real world.
Wow.
And that's in their own little bubble, as you may call it, because once a person comes inside of their door from the outside, they lock all of that out, and when they get into their real world, then they can be themselves.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's just like a functional a person that's in depression. You're going to always see a little tick about them, and usually it has to do with anxiety.
Okay.
They're anxious. They're anxious to get back into their real world where they won't have to deal with the lights. They won't have to deal with the phone ringing. They won't have to deal with the different voices that they hear from the people around them.
Okay. Okay.
So there's always a little tick about the person that you see.
Okay. So, because you just see different things, on social media. I saw one meme that check on his strong friend that's always acting like they're strong. They never go through. Just check on them. You know, call
mm-hmm.
them, check on as, and that's it. You know, I'm very transparent. I'll let every, you know, and I think that's why I think people look for transparency. They don't want to, you know, just see, you know, when you're looking at TV, you see the big, you know, the mega preachers and pastors.
Mm-hmm.
They might say 30 years ago, you know, I was there, you know, struggling. But you just never see where, like, there's no more problems. Maybe that's another reason why
mm-hmm.
people, even in church, you just never really see no one just come, look, man, it's been a hard week. Just that level of transparency. So even with our younger kids, you know, suicide is such high amongst our kids. And is there a sign? This depression thing. Is there a sign for parents to look out for even younger kids, teenagers, because there's a rise on depression and suicide with them? Is there something that they can even start paying attention to their kids?
And that's the key word right there, paying attention to their kid or their children or their child. And now it's like parents don't have time to pay attention to their child. There's always a sign. If it's a difference in their eating habit, if it's a difference in them going into their room when they didn't used to every day, closing the door, the lights are off, there's always a sign. But we have to pay more attention to our children than we do.
Wow. It's almost like the whole house, from mom, dad, we're so busy with the electronics and everybody
yes.
in their own world. That no one
yes.
notices the person that's dying in the inside, so to speak. They're crying
yes.
inside out.
Because we
else.
Don't take time. Like when you and I was growing up, we had
mm-hmm.
mama, we had big mama, we had auntie, we had the lady across the street, we had the lady up the street, the lunchroom lady. We had a village.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've done something wrong, I promise you, your mother wasn't the only one that knew that you had done something wrong.
That's right.
There is five different people telling your parents that you've done something wrong. But now with the parenting, their parenting skills are so off. And the parents now, they're all into this, oh, giving my child what I did not have. And it's all the materialistic thing. But I asked them, well, can you give them at least one thing that you did have? Which was respect, mannerism. Give them something that you did have. And it's just like the parents, that they just don't have time for our children anymore.
Yeah.
That's the number one problem.
Exactly right about that. And I think just the... It takes a lot, you know, when I'm being interviewed on different platforms. And one of the questions I think is asked, I mean, it's a lot, you know, raising kids, especially multiple kids, just to really pour that time and energy. One of my daughters, she jokingly said, she said she has two kids. And she was like, you know, I'm just thinking, how did you do that with all? But she said it's so much energy to try to love each person individually according to their personality. She said, Mama, really, you have more than two kids. Somebody's going to be missed out, but you took the time to learn each five person. And I said, that was a lot of work.
I said, that was,
but I knew.
You took the time.
I took the time to know that, well, I can be a little bit more forceful with you. I couldn't be with your daughter. It would destroy her self. So, but. And that's the thing, and it's a lot of work. I took the responsibility. Whether a guy stayed with me or he left, I made the decision to lay down with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, whether in a relationship, marriage, I said, you know what, I have to do what I just did. For me, being back then an uneducated mom,
mm-hmm.
a mom with a poverty mindset, I don't know. It was just, and I'm a fair person. I've always been a very fair and justice type person since I was a little girl. So I guess that part
right.
I know, you know, but it's a lot of work. So people, you know, if you're listening, you think about having kids, it's not like Dr. Mish, it's not about just giving them the materialistic things that you didn't have because, you know, we grew up back then and.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's a lot of work that you're going to have to pour into. When you start having children, I mean, learning that person individually, learning how they operate. And that will help. I think that's a quote I think about Frederick Douglass. It's easier to, easier to fix children than broken men or something, or easier to something. And I get that quote. I have it back on the radio up on my post. And it just takes a lot of work. And, you know, and so I just try to, that emotional stress level. That depression, it is real. And so, how do you feel that, what would be your suggestions to someone that's a single parent listening? And she's just like, you know what, I'm tired. These kids, because I've had women come up to me and say, Dr. Holden, please give me some advice. I have two kids. I'm about to pull my hair out. But Dr. Michelle, what advice would you give someone when they're at that breaking point? And they just feel like, man, it's too much. I need some help.
What I would say to the mother is seek counseling. It's okay. Seek counseling. You're tired. And before you get to that point where that tiredness turns into anger, and something happens through that anger that you did not mean, if you hit them in the wrong way, if you push them in the wrong way, anything could happen out of anger. If you're tired, seek counseling. Take your children to counseling. I deal with children all the time. There is help out there for you.
Yeah, and don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
Do not be ashamed. Is there a caller on the line?
Hi.
Hi. Who's on
the
line?
This is Chantel. I'm just listening.
Okay. Did you want to add? I thought I heard someone on the, did you want to add something or make a comment or ask Dr. Michelle a question?
I was just agreeing with Dr. Michelle, and I'm very special because she happens to be my aunt.
Oh,
but
oh,
it's
hi.
Ironic.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, it's ironic because, you know, you and I were talking last week, and I was telling you about I took my family, my children, to counseling, and, you know, and I looked at the therapist, and I said, you know, it's so taboo because this is not something that Black people do. It's not a norm
yeah.
for us, but I was
yeah.
so glad that I did.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'm just give maybe, you know, someone who's listening, who felt, you know, like you and us and many, you know, Black people just, no, we don't do that. Just let them know what feeling you got when you went. Just, you know, what relief, you know, to break down that stereotype Black folks don't go to counseling. So how did you feel when you left there?
You know, one of the things that the therapist did is that he spoke and he addressed each of my children differently. And they got an opportunity to speak very candidly and say things to him that they would not have necessarily said to me because they would have thought it was disrespectful.
Yeah,
even though I
yeah.
was asking what's wrong, you know, what do we need to do differently? And he just had a way of provoking them and questioning
right,
them that he
right.
got to the bottom of. He got the answers. And it wasn't something that I was able to do. My children were grown. I think they were 20, 22, 23 when we went. And so I didn't know how to, you know, to get to that point with them, especially as adults. And so he was able to do that for us and then create that dialogue that I couldn't create in my own home.
Now, I mean, listeners, I mean, that right there is basically, we can get off the air now, Dr. Michelle. I mean
that's it.
I mean, that's, you know, sometimes it
yes,
takes someone
yes.
else to come in.
Yeah.
And help. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
you know, to break through somebody, like you said, kids, well, I don't want to make mom mad or dad mad if I say
yes,
this.
Right,
or,
right.
You know,
yes.
but that, and,
yes.
and, you know, and sometimes, and like you said, it was grown. But hey,
mm-hmm,
he got
yeah.
well, you know what? And so thank you. Thank you for, you know, that was an excellent comment to add to the conversation. It's okay to go to counseling. You know,
yes,
and I tell
yes.
people all the time. Dr. Michelle, you heard my story. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, when
yes.
I was homeless with six children
yes,
for three
ma'am.
Years,
mm-hmm.
2.5, 3 years, you know, 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, about 12 years now, I was homeless with six children at 35 years
mm-hmm.
old. I was homeless
mm-hmm.
in, the streets of, in the streets of Atlanta with six children with a GED. I'm uneducated, underemployed.
Wow.
And the struggle got so bad because it wasn't just, you know, some people say, oh, I was homeless. I'm like, no. When I rolled in college in 2007, we lived in a board-up house at Squatters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
And so to go from the 10 years, to go from being homeless with six children to a political candidate in 2017 election, from a GED to
wow.
adopting author 12 books, I
mm.
say in between that, the struggle got so bad. I walked into a hospital and said, I don't want to live anymore. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. When I'm out there
yes.
in the streets. I'm 35 years old. I don't know. I'm born and raised in Atlanta. My family is here. And I'm just, now God just didn't allow nobody to help me. I mean, I was a joke of the family. Nobody didn't help. It was like, she's trying to go to school. She's 35, homeless. She dropped out in 10th grade. Had four kids by 22. So no one helped me. So the struggle,
wow.
I mean, from sleeping in cars, on the streets, shelters, abandoned house, a lady moved out of her apartment. I just said, can we stay there one night? And it got so hard, I walked into a hospital and said, I don't want to live anymore. She said, ma'am, you want to take me back? I said, yes, ma'am, that's what I'm saying. They kept me for a week for observation.
Mm-hmm.
I had,
wow.
my point. You know, I mean, I had kids. People say, well, Dr. Hall, I can relate. I was homeless, but I didn't have kids. It was just, I said, you got to think about it. For 2.5 to 3 years, I have to keep seven people safe.
Yes, ma'am.
And so now when I'm being interviewed on TV, radio, and because of what God did in 10 years, that was a lot to accomplish in 10 years.
Yes.
And sometimes when I go and speak, I'm a motivational speaker now, but when I speak, I'm still in shock. I'm like, just bust my prime before I get good into speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I was just speaking at an event that Q Parker wife had, 112, she had Saturday, and she had, I mean Sunday, she asked me to come speak. And here I am standing in front of Stevie J, Faith Evans, Carrie Hilson, and, I'm looking to the audience, and I'm like, God, just 12 years ago, nobody knew my name but the welfare office.
Well,
and
hello.
Here I am, and I'm, and you know, and but they don't, not just the stress level. I'm really young, yeah. through, and I know it's probably some PTSD there. You know, I just have to. I mean, sometimes I just sit in silence and I just cry to God. Mm-hmm. There's no way, Dr. Michelle. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to ever take God. You know, every time I get a chance to be on a platform, radio broadcast, there was no way. If mm-hmm. he did not step mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. I could have accomplished yes. what I've accomplished in 10 years without him. It was,
yes,
I was
God.
I had no money, no resources, no help. There was no way I can go from homeless to running for office, GED to doctor, and became a 12-time public within 10 years.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, and I think I still sit with smoke coming from my head sometimes. You know how you just, my head's like blown. It's like, God, what just happened? What did I just do?
Right. Right.
And, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm just, and so people, if you see somebody struggling, if you have it, look, we never know what road we're going to go down. I was mm-hmm. a homeless because of drugs, alcohol. I've never did drugs, alcohol in my life. I was mm-hmm. homeless. I've let everybody beat me down from family, relationships, you know, nobody, you worthless. I just believed it at an early age. That's why I dropped out at 10th grade. And so mm-hmm. for God mm-hmm. to have to change my mindset at 35 years old, Dr. Michelle, I thought he was trying to get, at 35 years mm-hmm. old, you're probably pretty much set in your ways. You know,
yeah.
unless
yeah.
I'm just keeping, don't, whatever your
absolutely,
mind says,
absolutely, yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes, ma'am.
You know, so for God to put me through some of my children in the service now, so for him to put me through a crucible and try mm-hmm. and yeah. get my mind to change, it was healed. It was to mm-hmm. get me from a defeated mindset, a poverty mindset. I'm looking at him, I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know
mm-hmm.
God. So I'm looking, what are you mm-hmm. doing, man? Please leave me alone. This hurts. I'm
right. Right.
Nobody's helping me, God. I'm crying out for help. Nobody's helping me. So I'm just excited now. A documentary came out 3 years ago, so I'm still having documentary screenings and book signings. But I know that mental health awareness and life can take you down the road where you don't. I mean, it can throw you some punches that'll land you, you know,
yes,
on your back.
Ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask, is there another caller on who want to make a comment, suggest, I mean, you know, ask Dr. Michelle, ask myself a question, you know. We're all in this together.
Yes.
We're all in this together, you know. When I go, you know, and I just thank Pastor Rob Williams. He came to me about 2-3 months ago. I think I've been having this radio show now in February. He's the founder
mm-hmm.
and of Breaking Chain Young Adults Radio Talk, and he said, Dr. Holden, man, I heard about your story. I would love for you to do this radio broadcast because people need real. They need to be, y'all, it's hard out here. Working my way up from rock bottom was H-E-W-S. I'm just telling you. It's
yes,
not
ma'am.
Good.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Don't let nobody make you feel bad from those days
yes,
like crying, giving up. I can't. This stuff is real. I'm just kidding.
And then see, Dr. Holden, even after God has saved us, God has delivered us, God has cleansed us up, it still get real.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
It still get real.
That's right. That's so true.
We had made it.
Yeah.
We had
that's
made
right.
it,
yeah.
Yeah, no.
And that's why I thank God for putting people like you in my life. You know, like the day you called and you said, hey, I just need to ask you a question because I need to know.
Yeah.
You know? And right. Absolutely. And then, see, you know, just because you're a doctor, I'm a doctor, I have this. We hadn't arrived.
No, ma'am.
We had made
God
it. Still go through that emotional roller coaster. Mm. But I know that I can call you and I say, hey, sis, look, all
that's
of these
right.
titles, we,
right.
you know, it's not about that right now. I need some help. I need somebody I can talk to.
And, man, I tell people when I go places, And they might say, well, how you want to be called? Because, you know, I'm ordained pastor. I say, not just like Dr. Hunt, I tell you this. I said, I'm not about title, but that signifies my journey. That's part of my journey.
Absolutely.
Honey, when I say, God, when God brings, it's not about, like you said, it's not about title. For me, I just want to do what God, every day, God help me.
Yes, ma'am.
I tell people, I say, you know, I came in this thing 12 years ago. Now, my faith was just born to fight. Little, it was weak as on, like a twig. You could have popped in a. I said, but now again, was almost hard as a rock. I said, now, devil, you know, I'm a little, you got to come a little bit more stronger than you did 12 years ago. You tried to get me out.
Okay.
You know, but that's why I tell people, stop trying to rush the process. If God, now I'm looking back, thank you, God. God,
yes, ma'am.
He helped me back then. I probably wouldn't be the son of God. And whoever is listening, God had told me when I was in my prayer. And the reason I didn't allow people to help you, because no, I don't want nobody to say, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be where she's at.
What
nobody,
she said?
God don't want nobody to take any credit, because he know the people that you're around is going to say, if it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be. I don't want to do this for him. And so God wants, so now I know for a shadow of a doubt, I tell people, you're going to hear from me, radio broadcast, or you're going to hear me get God's man, there's no way.
Yes, ma'am.
You get to a place you know, there's no way, God, it was you, what you want me to do?
Absolutely.
God, you know, when I ran for office, I was shaking like a leaf. I'm going to be honest, but I made a vow, I said, God, if you bring me out of homelessness and hopelessness, I go back and fight for others. I'm the underdog in the ring. It's 8 of us, but I was the underdog because I didn't know them. I didn't come from that elite group. I didn't come from
where you go
to parties and find linen on the table.
Ooh,
you know,
girl, where did Jesus come from? Where did
you
Jesus come from?
I came with a high school dropout, the single moms, the homeless people. You know, I was standing to fight for them. But my why was stronger than my
speed
in that race. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to stand here. I'm standing for the homeless. I'm standing for the single mom, the low income, the one stuck in poverty. And so that was my why. And although I didn't win the race, and it's funny, you know, Dr. Michelle, although I didn't win the race, but I tell you this, District 11 in Atlanta, it was historic for my family. I ran for the seat that Keisha Bottoms vacated to run for mayor. So on voting day, Keisha Bottoms got her crew on one side of the street, and it was me, my children. But to see my grandchildren, that was their signs, vote for my grandma. And so we got to learn how to still move. You can go to council, but don't sit in your, you got to still move. Like a current of water, just move with that pain. Just keep pushing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, God will meet you and help you walk out.
He will. Yes, ma'am.
So well, Dr. Michelle, tell the people how they can get in touch with you, where you're located, if they want you to come out to speak, you know, how your social media handles. How can they get in touch with you?
My personal phone number is 706-975-0079. My website is somebodyiam.com, which is the opposite of my business name, which is I Am Somebody Counseling Center. If you Google me, it shall come up.
Thank you, Jesus. What social media platforms are you on?
The only one that I truly do is Facebook.
Okay. Awesome.
And it's Dr. Michelle Harris Stanford.
Yes, that's and that's together. Dr. Michelle is together because I've tried to do it separately.
Dr. Michelle 1L MICHELE Harris - Stanford.
Awesome.
But the
awesome.
Easiest way is through my website, somebodyiam.com.
Now, I know in your bio you said you will travel. Do you have an office for your counseling or you go to the
client? I am mobile. I am mobile counseling, and I do travel wherever my clients are. There is no limit destination.
Okay.
International. And that's one thing that I do not do, take insurance, and I'm going to tell you everybody why, one reason that I don't, because if I take insurance, I have to diagnose you, and if I diagnose you, that's going to go with you for the rest of your life on your record.
Okay. Oh, so they'll have
mentally diagnosed.
Oh, wow. So they have to call you and you give them a fee of your service.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But because there are so many people that want to use insurance, I am in the process of doing the insurance. But as of now, and I think you will thank me later once I give you my flat rate than filing insurance.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes. Well, it's a big difference.
So, are you located in Atlanta?
I am in Manchester, Georgia, which
Manchester.
Is 30 minutes
okay.
south of Columbus, Georgia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would travel to a different area? Do you have the state of Georgia or just a certain area?
Wherever I get a call from, that's where I go. If I have to spend the night, I will.
All right. Y'all heard from Dr. Michelle Stanford. What counselor would come to you? Sometimes you don't feel like getting out of the house.
Absolutely.
Hey, I need somebody to come to me in my private settings, where I can really let it out.
Yeah.
I have a family meeting.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you for taking your time coming out and being a guest on Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31, Ladies Night. And thank you for, coming and sharing your expertise. And so for those listeners who say, Dr. Holden, can you come out? We'd like for you to speak. You can go to my website, elementsinc.com. That's 3elementsinc.com. I named my business 3 Elements because I didn't come from a corporate background and so I said, God, I don't really come from a corporate background. What can I offer people? He said, it's always been 3 things that's present with you since you was a little girl, love, compassion, and service. So 3 elements,
ma'am.
No matter what I'm preaching, speaking, writing books, I guarantee you will always see love, compassion, and service that has traveled, that has been with me. It's a track record of that. So, again, my website, www.3elementsinc.com. You can call me, 404-838-9587. And on my website, if someone want to hear my story a little bit, that is a live radio broadcast that you can actually hear the story. And I will be posting on social media about upcoming documentary screening and book signings. All of my books are available on Amazon. So if you're wondering what kind of books have I written, I have my life story. I have 4 children's books that teaches on love, respect, diversity, friendship. I have a 4-part youth series for 11 through 14-year-olds that deal with sex trafficking, bullying, teen dating violence, love and forgiveness. A book for ministries. I'm trying to get a book into churches called The Crucible, letting people know the importance of staying on the potter's wheel. And I also have a training manual out that I'll do my personal signature development workshops with. So all of the books on Amazon. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. I would love to come and inspire your people and give hope. Sometimes people just need, once you lose hope, Dr. Michelle, that's it. I tell you.
That's it. Yes, ma'am.
Once that hope gone, everything else can count on.
Yes, ma'am.
It falls by the wayside. So that's my information. Again, my number is 404-838-9587. If you want to email me, it's Latarsha, LATARSH. Oh, I tell you, I'm thinking LATARSHAHOL, excuse me, DEN at yahoo.com. It's Latarsha Holden at yahoo.com. So I want to thank you again, caller, for calling in. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was just, I think people need to hear, it's okay to get help, but just go in to have an extra. That third opinion, that third, someone that can actually break the ice. So before we get off the broadcast, is there another caller that wants to make a comment, ask a question? Caller, are you there?
I'm here, but I'm satisfied.
Okay, okay. Well, did you want to make a comment?
Oh, thank you, God.
Are you satisfied?
Ma'am?
Do you want to make a comment? Tell us why you're satisfied. Give us something good on the way out the show.
Oh, my aunt Renee contacted me. Well, okay, my aunt, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you.
About 6 weeks ago. You're welcome. And she started me on this faith walk. And, you know, I've been in church all my life. I mean, since I was little, baptized at 6, sang in the choir, been in church all my life. But the walk that I went on with her took me into a different sphere. It was a relationship with God that I thought I had that I realized I did not have. And through her ministry and through her encouragement and her prayers, in October 2017, I was told that a student passed the virus to me, and it messed up my eyes. It took my balance away. I have vertigo all the time. I'm dizzy all the time. And through that faith walk with her, I am driving again. I am going back to therapy so I can go back to work this fall. I am enlightened. My spirit is ready. I mean, and I'm just in a different place, a place that I never knew existed, you know, a relationship that I didn't even know I could have with God. And so I'm just so thankful for her being my aunt and just being my spiritual leader through this process. And, you know, I just know He's got so much more, you know, that he wants me to do, and now I'm prepared to do it and to do it wholeheartedly in a way that I could not have done before. And so I'm just excited about what the future holds for me. I am. So everybody be encouraged. Be encouraged. I was a single mother. I have 4 degrees. I got my degrees while raising my 3 children. And so it can happen, and we can be vulnerable. We need to know we can be vulnerable. And Dr. Michelle is somebody that you can be vulnerable with, and not just be vulnerable with. You know, some people are like, I don't want to share my business, but in being vulnerable with her, then she can give you some direction.
Yes.
She'll be there to pray for you. She'll walk you through it. So you're not just being vulnerable. You know, you're getting the help that you need. And so I'm just so blessed by her. So blessed by her. So I know
thank you, darling.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I tell you this. I feel like I'm so happy, Dr. Michelle. My 5th child now will be graduating tomorrow on her 18th birthday in high school. So I'm excited. I'm like, God, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm
congratulations.
Thank you. You know, when you have all them kids, you start looking. I'm like, you know, because the oldest one is 25 to 30. So my daughter's 18 tomorrow, graduation. My son will be 17 in August. And I'm like, yes, thank you for allowing me.
Yes, God.
Thank you for God. Just thank you for allowing me to see this time.
Yes.
So we're preparing for that. And so, again, thank you all for calling in.
Thank you so very much for even just thinking of me, for just having me on your show. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Yes, anytime, sis. Hey, listeners, tune in next Wednesday. We have another altar show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so, again, thank you all for tuning in to Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio. Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in 858-357-9137. It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.